Before we start, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. None other than it's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, podcast degenerates of all ages, welcome back to episode 194 of the DWI podcast. PC Tony, how you doing, what, brother?
What up, brother? Yeah, brother, I do know about that. Let's keep it rocking and rolling here. We're getting closer to WrestleMania. We're also getting closer to episode 200, so that should be very, very interesting.
The last time we were on, well, our road to 100 led to the road to WrestleMania, so why wouldn't 200, you know?
Yeah, I'm guessing, so what, we got five more episodes till the 200th, so I feel like end of March, third or fourth week in March should be that episode if we end up doing a Frankie DeFalco show there.
Yeah.
Event coming up in March, but look for that, folks. I haven't even started planning it yet. So there you go. There's a lot to look forward to right now. Maybe next week I'll have I'm going to say it right now. That way I'll make something happen. Next week I will have a special announcement as to the happenings of episode 200 of the DWI podcast. In parentheses after that, I still have to talk to DP about it. So, and I don't even know what we're going to talk about yet.
That was a teaser even for me.
Yeah, take that, you son of a biscuit.
Take that, you stupid hoser.
Uh-oh, take off,
take that, you stupid hoser.
So, DP, you broke the snowblower, and now on your day off, you got to wait around for somebody to come over and fix it. You gave it the old college try and just couldn't get it figured out. So tell everybody how you broke it and how much you think you have to pay to replace the snowblower that costs X amount.
Well, I think it was just time that I didn't necessarily break it personally. I think
so. How old is it?
It's just since I've owned it, inherited it. It's been 5 years.
How old? Oh, okay.
Fuck, I don't know. Okay. I inherited it when I bought the house.
Oh, interesting. How old do you think it is? Yeah. If you had to take a guess, is it a really old one? Is it from like the '80s or the '70s, or is it
I think it's like 10 years old, maybe.
Oh, okay, so it's from this millennium.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, it's nice. It's definitely a newer model.
So it's a nice snowblower, though. So if you had if you had to go out and replace it with the same type of snowblower that could get the same type of job done as far as size and speed, etc., how much would you be spending?
I'd probably be spending like $2,000.
Whoa, you have a really nice one then, I guess.
I didn't think so. I'd say it's got to be up to $1,500 at least.
Can you stand on it? Does it ride? Is it a riding snowblower?
Oh, I wish. Oh, not a riding snowblower, but it's a pretty wide snowblower. I mean, half an hour I can knock out that whole driveway and sidewalk and everything real nice.
Is it just me and that's how much snowblowers are? Because I've never had a snowblower in my life. My snowblower my snowblower brand is PC Tunney and a shovel.
Depending on what you want to get, yeah. They're upwards of, definitely over $1,000 if you want a really nice one.
I figured for like $300-400 you could get a really nice one, but $1,500, holy shit. I mean,
yeah.
I think that thing should pour me a fucking drink.
Well, it can. It's just going to be gasoline or oil.
Depends on what you put in there. I mean, how about a snowblower that runs on vodka? Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Simple, yeah.
I don't know about that, dude.
Hey, before we get into the DPP, speaking of alcohol, I don't have off tomorrow, but I am working second shift tomorrow, so I'm going to have a few brewskis tonight, and let me tell everybody about it in another edition of What's Drinking?
Drink it in, man.
Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk.
All right, TP, speaking of what you're drinking, I need another beer. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell everybody about the phenomenal time we had at Brew City Wrestling on Saturday, because there was definitely drinks to be had there. DP and I both Ubered it, so we were not drinking and driving. As we say, do not drink and drive, drink and podcast. So we were out. We got to witness a wonderful show with Kylie Rae against Evil Sierra, which tore the house down, was the match of the night by far. And then BCW championship match on the men's side as well. Max Holiday defending against the Beer City Bruiser, which turned into a phenomenally entertaining match. Those guys did some really cool things, and the crowd was so into that match. So, DP, take them through our whole night there, because it started off great and it ended with a little bit of a fizzle.
Well, you know, talking about starting there, it was even before we got to the Elks Lodge when we hit up Bullwinkle's there. It's a local pub actually owned by Joe Panos, I think, still, who was a former NFL star from Wisconsin. Had some food there and a couple drinks while we waited for the show to begin. Got a ride over to the Elks Lodge, which is an awesome place there in Waukesha. And got to enjoy, like you said, a great card there for Aftermath of Brew City Wrestling. Kylie Rae, shout out to her, brand new BCW Women's Champion and AEW star, as well as we know, she just got signed, which is pretty awesome. And the Beer City Bruiser, Max Holiday, put on a great show. That's two big, basically, bruisers, as the Bearded Bruiser, Max Holiday, and the Beer City Bruiser himself. I think everybody was really excited to see the Beer City Bruiser back in Brew City Wrestling. And he's going to be back again next month, so that's pretty awesome. Very exciting there.
Friday, March 22nd at the Elks Lodge, DP.
Yeah, that could be right around episode 200 right there.
That could be. So go to BruceCityWrestling1.com to get your tickets now for that. Ringside will be sold out probably more than a week before the show. So jump on that if you want to see all them stars back again. Kylie Rae is back with that, going to be defending that title in a triple threat against Sierra and Vanessa Azzurri.
Right, I was going to bring that up. Not only did we, the Brew City Wrestling, the Brew City Wrestling Women's Championship. I was going from the Beer City Bruiser to the Women's Championship and trying to mash them together, apparently. The Beer City Bruiser will be there, but also Kylie Rae, who is, as I mentioned, the newest signee to AEW, is defending that Women's Championship as well in that triple threat, so that's going to be pretty awesome. So, good card coming up as well. Yeah, just finishing up what we were talking about there and the matches, and then we got to hang out for a while and have a couple beers with the champ, Max Holiday, which is pretty fun. Got to talk to a good friend, Sean Priest, as well for a while, and the amazing transformation he has had and the diet and the 70 pounds he's lost, and just phenomenal athlete already. Just looks better and better every time we see him.
The guy looks really phenomenal. Exciting. Yeah, Priest, it was great to talk to you. We definitely got to have you back on the show. And said hi to his partner and talked to him for a little bit in between the show there. Tyler Sullivan was there, so shout out to him. Like DP probably said already, had a good chance to say hello to the Bruiser and say hi to him real quick there. He had a lot going on. Got a chance to say hi to BCB Wifey as well. Who else did we see? Stacy, I believe you talked to Stacy.
Talked to Stacy.
We both talked to Roadhouse.
Talked to Sierra, Roadhouse.
Sierra came over and gave me a hug.
Yeah. Yeah, she was excited. I think she knew she had a really good match and everything. I think she was riding high there. And, you know, we certainly gave her the praise because, yeah, you know, I think she really appreciates
that. Also, I got the shout out to Chucky Bates and Manservant Baxter at different points in the evening. I got to talk to both of those guys. So, Frankie, Mr. DeFalco, phenomenal. Another great evening. Got to buy the champ a beer each, DP. And yep. Then you want to continue with the fizzle or you want me to lay it on him?
Well, let's see. We decided to head out from there looking for a place that would still serve food as well as have some drinks. So we tried to hit up Bullwinkle's, where I mentioned that's where we started the night. And
them bastards, they closed down early, basically.
Closed down early. I got there, walked in the door, and they were talking about calling last call in like 5 minutes. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And this was, what, midnight, before midnight? 11:30?
It was like 12:05 we got there, I think.
12:05?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so then we're like, well, let's get the hell out of here because we can't get anything here. So we went to a bar down the street. I'm not even going to say their name, but we walked in the door and it just smelled like puke to me.
Yeah, it really did. It did.
It's a clean place, though. It looks like a great place. I think I've been there before. I'd love to go back as long as it smelled nice because they had great beers on tap. I don't know if they just didn't know it or they'd been sitting in it all night that they couldn't smell it. But if that's the way that place smells all the time,
yeah,
you just will never make my list down that way.
Well, that's like the other place that we went to there over by you when we walked in, and it smelled like sewage.
That's changed. We're going to have to go back and visit it. I don't want to say the name of the bar that was beforehand because I don't know what they had going on and don't want to, you know, hurt them at all. But Wayne's good buddy, Joe Braun, who owns Braun's on National, it's going to be Braun's Powerhouse 100 over there. So we know the food is good there. We know he takes care of a good bar. So that's just, it's another place for me that I think is walking distance, especially in summer, maybe not winter because it's a long walk.
That's a little bit longer than the Bosch, but that's I'm happy for them because when we were there, it was really a nice place. They had really good food, really took care, like you said, they take care of their customers. And it was a little bit of a smaller place, you know, at Braun's there. And this new place, it was going to be a lot bigger.
Yes.
So that's good for them. You know, I hope that works out really well for them.
All right, just to round this out, I am drinking Two Hearted Ale. It's an American IPA. It's not an American pale ale. It's an American India pale ale. It's from Bell's, who also makes the Hop Slam. If you never had it, give it a try. It's excellent. So
it's an American Indian pale ale?
All right, we've had enough of you.
Ah, damn it. Well.
Oh. DP, let's tell everybody who's enjoying this lovely podcast what we're going to be talking about this week on that podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Sheet. Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, and I never slice.
Mm-hmm, Danny. Mm-hmm.
Noonan.
Fucking Judge Smales.
What a phenomenal movie. All right, folks. This week, we're going to have a little bit of an Elimination Chamber review, go over our thoughts, and see how everybody did on the Chair Shot staff picks. I know DP's looking forward to a little bit of praise, which is well-deserved. We're going to talk about those guys who were called up from NXT, whether or not it's permanent or not. They were up all week on Raw and SmackDown and had some phenomenal matches, beat some really good people. And, of course, the hottest thing that's going on right now in the WWE is Kofi Kingston. Can he get the job done at Fastlane, DP? We're going to talk about that. And a last call. You know what? A last call that if you're not down with it, we got two words for you.
Ring the bell? Is that the two words?
Oh, no, I thought you had this. No, it's...
Hate it.
No, it's suck it. DPP, ring the bell. All right, go ahead. Ring the other bell for yourself as many times as you like. You and yep. There. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yep, here we go.
I always like to play Barry Horowitz when one of us gets something, nails something right. There you go.
Yes, DP, you and Mr. Abe O'Day were the only two people to have only one loss. Abe had a perfect card, except just missing the one, which would be Baron Corbin going over Braun Strowman. He had Braun Strowman. And DP had Corbin. Not many did, but did not have Finn Balor, which was a loss for the chair shot this week. This network event only going 4-3, so we dropped below our average there. Our record moves to 32-12-1, which is still phenomenal.
Still
two words, phenomenal.
There you go. That's the two words for you, phenomenal. Okay.
There you go. It's a different two words, but you know.
So shout out to Abe O'Day. And of course, my main man right here, DPP. It's funny because I thought a lot more people, that's the one thing I was really surprised about was your loss, is the amount of people that picked Lashley to retain. I thought Finn would be not a consensus or you know, a really high percentage pick, but I thought, you know, out of 21 people, I figured 13 or 14 would have picked Finn.
That was a tough one for me. I was 50-50 on it, like, just because, you know, that whole handicap match is totally set up for the, you know, for the challenger to pin the weaker guy. And so, you know, you lose the title even though you don't get pinned. And generally that's the way it always goes. But then, I don't know, I just, you figure, you know, at that point, maybe they're going to go the other way and just have, you know, Lashley beat up Balor and Rush tags himself in to get the pinfall and wins or whatever. And yeah, it was a tough one. I don't know. I was 50-50 on it.
Let me give you my thoughts on the Intercontinental Championship, okay? You heard me. The Intercontinental Championship. I love that. I love this belt on him. And if I was booking this, I'd have him keep that belt all the way to WrestleMania 36 and have the Intercontinental Champion, who is Finn Balor, against whoever has that Universal title. And you get the old school IC versus World. I mean, big rub there. Build up a heel side there for him to go up against. And that's kind of something I would, you know, have a long story arc maybe looking out for. Let Finn go ahead and hold that belt for a while, because that guy, he can do everything, DP.
Oh, we just used the term. Could he be Finn-nominal as well?
Eh? Finn-nominal.
Yeah, he could have a lot. They could have a lot of really good matches. Like, you know, so again, Seth Rollins will probably end up winning the world title here. But, you know, if you call Ricochet up, you know, you get, you know, I mean, guys like Kofi Kingston, guys, you know, all these mid-card guys that you could throw in there and have incredible matches, having Balor as the champion, definitely could be a ton of fun.
Well, you look at the picks here, 21-0. Everybody picked Rousey. Mason Epinetter, the only guy who was shooting hardcore for Kofi Kingston at the end of that match. It was 20-1.
Yeah. Damn, that was awesome.
Right? So the chair shots, man, did pick both chambers right. We just got wrong. We thought that Miz and McMahon would retain, Leo and Lashley would retain, and that Braun would win. So,
you know, to me, that the Corbin pick was almost, I mean, I don't know, I thought it was pretty obvious with that one. I mean, especially it was a no DQ match. The whole issue with Drew McIntyre that they've been setting up, I mean, it just seemed like an obvious thing that McIntyre was going to come interfere and they were going to take down Strowman.
I thought when all those guys were out there, I thought, well, here's the perfect chance to make Braun look like fucking Superman again, and have him whoop all three of their asses and have that backfire, that setup, and where he just lays across all of them. But now thinking back, you can't bury all those guys like that. So where do you go with this? Braun Strowman has been a big part of a lot of things, and now we're coming to the biggest time of the year, and it's looking like you're going to see these guys in the Andre the Royal Giant Memorial Battle Rumble.
Something like that. Or, you know, the way they've been putting these guys together, they've had Kurt Angle come out, you know, and help him in an occasion or two I'm, you know, unless they're going to throw Lashley in there as well because he's been involved. I forgot who the third guy was that came out and helped Strowman and Angle. But I'm guessing a triple threat match at WrestleMania, which is pretty sad.
I thought it was Finn, but he's in a different...
It was Finn, you're right, yeah. So they might throw a different guy in there.
So we're not sure what they're going to do with Braun moving towards WrestleMania, etc. But one thing you brought up is Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle got John Cena, his first match up on the main roster. Will John Cena get Kurt Angle in Kurt Angle's retirement match from WWE at WrestleMania this year?
I like it.
You want to see that? I want to see that. I would love to see that.
That would be cool, and that would be a great way to have, yeah, his last match, you know, be against, like you said, the guy that, you know, started John Cena's career. That'd be pretty cool.
Overall thoughts on the Elimination Chamber, spots you liked, what'd you think of both chamber matches? Congratulations to the Boston Hug Connection, first ever in the rejuvenation of the WWE Tag Team titles for the women.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, again, just that feel-good moment that they had. I'm surprised they had it at the opening. So, I guess the way they had both chambers feel-good moments.
Did you like how they bookended the show with it or not?
I do. Then that's what they did last year as well. And I think that's the way they should do it because you open the show hot with Elimination Chamber. You can't have them back-to-back. It's too much. You know, and you're not going to put it, you know, even mid-card would be too much, I think. So opening and closing with it, perfectly fine. I got no problem with that. You know, poor Ruby Riott. That's all I got to say about that one. Completely squashed in that match. That's unfortunate because that was definitely better than that.
That was more of a TV segment than a match at a network event.
Yeah. Then why not just have Rousey come out and do the face-to-face with Charlotte and have Becky come out and do what they did? They didn't have to have the match then. I mean, they did the rematch on Raw, and it was a lot longer of a match. That should have been, if they're going to do that, flip-flop it, you know, and put that squash match on Raw, or just not have the rematch. Why have a rematch?
It was a way to have Charlotte and Becky on the network event.
Right, exactly. So you could have just had Charlotte come down, talk a few words, have Rousey come down, get face-to-face, have Becky come out. Well, you know, you didn't need the 2 minutes of Riott getting her ass kicked. It just, I don't know. Didn't seem to make it any... It didn't further Rousey's case of being dominant, and it just hurts Ruby Riott, in my opinion.
All right, DP, I'm going to run from, you know, kind of bottom to top here a little bit, and I'm going to give you the match, and we're each going to give the one thing that you remember or one comment you have on the match. So I'll kind of start with it. Murphy and Tozawa... It wasn't as good as the 205 Live matches have been on the network events as of late, I thought.
I remembered at 7 o'clock it was time for the show.
And you missed that one.
At 6 o'clock it was time for the show. Yeah. I turned it on at 6 and went, oh yeah, the pre-show now starts at 5, goddammit.
That's fine. It's done before 10. We're talking Central Time, folks. It's done before 10. Shit, yeah. That's great.
Which was great. That was fine with me, but yeah, I totally dropped the ball on that one. I'm like, oh, pre-show's starting. All right, here we go.
Okay, so the one thing you took away from that match is I didn't see that match.
Yeah, the one thing I took away is I have to start watching at 5.
Excellent. Oh. All right. Braun versus Corbin.
The Shield-style triple powerbomb onto the tables, obviously. I mean, the two tables set up and got triple powerbomb through them both. It's kind of a nice, you know, good spot.
I completely agree there. Finn Balor versus Leo and Lashley. I love the fact that I now get to call it the Fintercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I like that. I had no real big takeaway from that. Is the, you know, the Lashley rush, you know, what are they going to do, I guess, because Lashley's frustrated with them. Seeing the frustration where he slammed him down, where is that going to go on the road to WrestleMania?
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt the show here. I'm going to leave this in. My mom's texting me right now and asking me if I want some Girls to Go cookies that she has, you know, that she bought for probably just to give away to family and such. And Of course I want some Girl Scout cookies. What's wrong with you people?
So that leads to question. The next question is favorite Girl Scout cookie.
My favorite Girl Scout cookie is the caramel and coconut chocolate one.
The Caramel Delight, I think it is?
Yeah, or the Hawaiians, they call them or something sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I also like the chocolate-covered peanut butter ones, the peanut butter patties. And then after that, Thin Mints is solid. I don't know. There's none that I won't eat, except if they're a lemon one now, maybe I won't eat that.
There's a lemon one.
No gracias. But even the windmill, like, you know, graham cookie, I'll still eat that, you know, some milk or whatever. But, yeah, definitely the Hawaiians, Caramel Delights, if you will, and then the peanut butter patties, which, oh, those get me in trouble because I'll eat too many and drink a lot of milk. And then the Thin Mints. And for me, DP, I like my Thin Mints in the freezer.
Yeah.
And I also like my peanut butter patties in the fridge and my Caramel Delights in the cupboard.
I'm a Thin Mints, and I think I prefer the Thin Mints in the fridge now. I don't know, but I like them both. That was initially my favorites until they released the s'mores cookies,
which I haven't had those yet.
Fucking awesome! Holy shit, those are a game changer.
If you were to channel the way you feel about them through Jim Rome, how would you feel about them? they are
two words: phenomenal.
Got two words for you: phenomenal. Okay, let's get back to wrestling, DP. I love the little sidetrack there. Miz and Usos. Yeah. The one thing I take away from that is whatever happened with Jimmy and Naomi mustn't have been too bad that they didn't want to derail the storyline here. Naomi was driving, and she did not have any alcohol from what I heard. Jimmy got a little lost, and seems like he apologized, and everything's good, so... And the best tag team in the world is back, you know, with the belts, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that everything's okay there, and they obviously seem to be continuing with what they were doing. You know, the Miz and Shane breakup is slowly beginning. That's kind of what I took away from that is, I'm kind of hoping Miz stays babyface, but I don't know if that's going to happen, so.
Well, we'll have to keep track of that. But DP, right now I think this is a perfect opportunity for another edition of
that's just like your opinion, man.
Definitely 100% Shane versus Miz at WrestleMania. Yes or no?
I got two words for you.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
And that's been another edition. Like we said, 21-0. Everybody picked Ronda Rousey. That was fairly easy. I gave the argument that do those three even need the belt yet, but that it would kind of be a disservice to the belt at this point to not have it part of the main event of WrestleMania. You give it a little more legacy each time you have matches like that are for the title. We can move away from that. DP... We talked about the women's tag elimination chamber. The one thing you take away from the Boston Hug winning that match there and the match overall?
Just that they came in the obvious choice and they left with the belts. So, you know, good on them. I think they can help establish a good foundation for the women's tag titles going forward and help, you know, boost some of these other women to have better matches. And I think they're the right people to have it at this time. And, you know, it's just going to help that women's division get even more eyes on it.
I thought everybody did a really good job. I mean, Naomi and Mella had their expected early exit because of both their circumstances.
Apparently. Yep.
you can Google Corey Graves and Carmella if you'd like and see what's all going on over there, but apparently it's not as horrible as it seems. I thought Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville had a really great match. In addition, I could care less what the rest of you fucking idiots in the wrestling community think, but the Iconics fucking job in that match, they accomplished that. They did a great job at it. And Nia going through the pod was excellent. So, sorry, that's more than one thing. EP, the last thing here, Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston. I'm not even going to get our one thing right there because we're going to get to that before last call. So I don't know. How would you, if someone said, how was Elimination Chamber? I mean, you can rate it 1 to 10. You can say it was okay, good, bad, great. How would you describe it?
I would say above average, maybe B minus.
You can check my Twitter because I had two words for Elimination Chamber. Rather forgettable. There were some good things there, but we're not going to really remember this pay-per-view much, except for the fact that the women's tag team titles started there. That's about it, really.
Yeah.
I think more people are going to remember what happened on Raw and SmackDown with Daniel Bryan, or on SmackDown with Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan, and what's about to happen with Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. So, like I said, we'll get to that. And before we move on to our next topic and talk about them boys that got brought up from NXT DP, causing some waves up on the main roster, let's take a quick pause for the cause. Lord Alfred, sir?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thanks, Reba. I mean, Amber. Yeah, the boys will like that.
Yeah.
All right, DP. NXT call-ups. Ricochet. Aleister Black. Gargano and Ciampa. Of the three, which one do you want to talk about first? I'm going to let you go ahead and pick which one you'd like to start spitting some fire on, because I'm sure you're as excited about this as I am.
I'm going to start with Aleister Black.
All right, let me just run it down for people. Aleister Black defeated Elias on Raw, and Aleister Black defeated Andrade on SmackDown, DP.
So we got Aleister Black and Andrade again, basically, right? We've seen them a couple times on NXT takeover events, and then we get to see them up on the main roster. And it's a good match, I guess, you know, for them to have because they're used to each other, right? So it's a good chance for Black to be comfortable and showcase what he can do.
Make a good impression.
Right. And I don't know if anybody else had the same thoughts. You know, I've talked about this previously, but he just seems more fit for the main roster than he did on NXT. I think his character, his persona, the entrance obviously is a main event, you know, big show type of entrance, you know, and I think people are going to dig that. And he just fits really well, I think. And his character, I think, can do a really great job on the main roster. Assuming he stays, you know, I don't know about some of the others. You know, Gargano and Ciampa being champions might be interesting, you know, if they're going to actually stay on the main roster. But I think Aleister Black has a great opportunity on the main roster. Again, just with the way his character is, he's going to be really good, I think.
I enjoy Aleister Black matches. I just think he gets stuck in a routine sometimes. I like him to mix it up a little bit more, but at the same time, when you're debuting, you want to show people what they haven't been seeing, because you figure a lot of people that watch Raw and SmackDown don't necessarily have to have the network. A lot of people just kind of tune in here or there, and they kind of, you know, do other things while people they don't care about is on, or they fast forward and they record it, etc. That being said, yeah, Aleister Black has a bright future. I don't know that I ever really see him being a world champion in WWE, if you will, if you want to classify those two belts, which I hope become one so badly. I wish we had the clip that said, there can only be one Highlander. There can only be one. Highlander, there can only be one. But, you know, whatever. To me, I think the ceiling for him is US/IC. What do you think about that? As far as his ceiling, do you see him as a possible world champion someday?
I do. I could see him as world champion. you know, definitely, you know, it's harder in the land of the giants on Raw, more or less. But, you know, we're going to have Seth Rollins as champion. And we've got Daniel Bryan. I think he'd be a great fit on SmackDown. He could easily be a guy that wins that Money in the Bank briefcase and comes and cashes in on, you know, on a, you know, a defenseless babyface champion. Because I think he'd be, I know people love him, but I think he'd be definitely better as a heel, just the way his character is, for sure. But I could definitely see him winning a title somewhere. I think it'd be more on along that line, though, where he wins the Money in the Bank and cashes in. But he could definitely put on some great matches, at least challenge for the title for sure.
Let's move on to Ciampa and Gargano. Do you think that their immediate future, if they were brought up after giving away those titles, and spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure Gargano loses that North American title to Velveteen Dream. And it just gives me a chance to play.
Velveteen Dream.
All right, that's enough. Don't want to get the people too excited. But is there immediate future just as a tag team if they get brought up? I mean, right away, or do you see either Gargano or Ciampa, actually the same question, becoming a world champion?
And those are two guys I don't see becoming a world champion. I could see them at the level of IC champion, you know, or US champion for sure, probably, but... And the way they brought them up there, like, all of a sudden now they're putting them together as a tag team, like, back where they were when they were, you know, like, completely almost ignoring the fact that these guys hated each other for a year, you know, plus, after they broke up and Gargano, you know, or Ciampa turned on Gargano, and they had this long-ass feud forever, you know, battled each other over the world title, then, you know, Gargano went and did his own thing and kind of turned heel, and now they brought them both up and just went, yeah, you guys are going to be together now.
Well, because not only did they beat the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Revival, on Monday, then they show up and beat one of the best tag teams in the world over the last 2-3 years, however long they've been together, and noticeably bigger Sheamus and Cesaro.
Oh, my God. Whew, yeah, that was crazy when they showed up backstage.
The thing is, you forget how big Sheamus and Cesaro are, and at the same time, you forget how small Johnny Gargano is. Ciampa's pretty big. He's just not tall. But Gargano's small.
Yeah. He is. Sheamus,
Cesaro, big. Gargano, small.
Yeah, and the fact that they brought him out like that, put him together as a team, they go out and beat the tag team champions from Raw, and then beat, like you said, you know, the tag team in WWE for the last couple years, you know, that just right there almost solidifies the fact that they're going to be a tag team. And I think they're great. They were great as a tag team in NXT, you know, and I wonder, you talked about these guys coming up and that maybe a lot of these, you know, people don't watch NXT because they can watch Raw and SmackDown on television. Is, you know, did most of these fans not really know these guys at all? You know, because they were pretty quiet for most of the, you know, show.
You know, you bring that up.
And you can start it over. You can start them as a tag team and bring them back over.
You bring up the crowd thing, and let me just say this, and you can, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but you brought up the crowd, and from what I heard from a bunch of different people, that crowd was just not very good.
And that could be the case, too. That happens, you know, and maybe it was, and that's horrible timing, you know, if that was the case, you know, but...
Which is weird coming off of a network event.
Yeah. Usually you're pretty hot for the shows after that because it's starting the new build to the next pay-per-view. Network event. I'll get it. I'll work on it.
Out of all the weeks you could show up and to Raw or SmackDown, I think my pick would be the week, the show immediately after the network event. Not the show immediately before or anywhere in between. It's the best... Raw and SmackDowns, in my opinion, are the ones right after the network events.
Well, sure, because you're coming off the big match. You might have a title change or whatever. You're getting a new, fresh storyline in many cases because you're having a new build to the next event. So it's
And sometimes they pay things off the next night, too.
Yeah, a lot of times you get the rematch or whatever. Like, right. And, yeah.
Okay, DP, one topic before last call, and we got to hear it. We got to hear it. It's the only way I know how to use some sound and music to tell everybody the hottest thing in the entire WWE right now.
You know, SOS, I hear them shouting. SOS, I hear them crying. I'm calling SOS, I hear them calling. SOS, I hear them shouting. SOS, I hear them crying.
The band, the Brotherhood, the triumphant trio.
Hey.
To borrow a term, you know, with Xavier and Big E at his side and giving him the support, along with the momentum of the New Day, Kofi Kingston has become the hottest thing in WWE organically as a fill-in for a guy who got hurt. The things he's done on television and then at the pay-per-view, Kofi's like, he's grabbing the brass ring, for lack of a better term, and he's running with it right now. DP, are they teasing us at Fastlane? Or are they going to pay this off? Because I have a feeling, no matter what happens, it's going to be a multiple-man match for that WWE title at WrestleMania. My opinion, man, why not let Kofi win it at Fastlane and lose it back to whoever you want to run with post-WrestleMania?
Because he's not going to let that happen. And I mean Vince McMahon not letting that happen. You know, I think if they were going to give the title to Kofi Kingston, they should have done it at the Elimination Chamber. They could have easily paid it off right there at the hot crowd, rooting for him to do it, win that title. He could have turned around and lost it at SmackDown with Daniel Bryan demanding the rematch, even though they've apparently gone away from rematch clauses, but I would have done it then. That would have been the perfect time. Would have given him a chance to give him that title. He had it for, you know, 2 days. He doesn't have to have it that long. Just pay that off right there and have him lose it right back. It would have drawn even more heat for Daniel Bryan. I'm, you know, he's definitely deserving, well-deserving to have this, you know, title and to have this run because he's been around for 11 years and he's always a phenomenal performer. And I wonder, you know, what they would have done if this was Mustafa Ali's spot. Was he going to be the guy that was going to have this match at Fastlane instead? I don't know. But, you know, either way, I'm happy that Kofi Kingston got this spot because he is well-deserved of it. But I can't imagine them giving him this title at all. They're going to have Daniel Bryan, the guy that everybody's hating right now and is one of the best, playing the best heel, take this title into WrestleMania. I really don't know who he's going to wrestle at this point, but there's just no way. I cannot see Kofi Kingston winning this title. I mean, it'd certainly be a great spot, but like I said, if it was me, if I would have done it, I would have, if I were going to give Kofi Kingston the title, I would have done it at the Elimination Chamber and paid it off there and had him lose it right back. He didn't have to hold it till Fastlane. He could have lost it at SmackDown right afterwards.
But isn't that more predictable that he would have won at Elimination Chamber instead of, hey,
no, look at the fix.
Yeah, but
look at the fix.
It's 20-1.
Yeah, 20-1. Exactly. So
I think it'll be unanimous at Elimination at Fastlane, don't you?
Well, absolutely it'll be going to be unanimous. I don't think Kofi Kingston has a chance of winning it. That's why I think at Chamber would have been way better because I don't see Kofi holding that title going into WrestleMania.
I don't know. I don't either, but I want to see it. I want to see it. I like that better, actually.
I'd rather him get that payoff at WrestleMania then, but I don't see him doing that for Kofi Kingston.
We're going to talk about a lot more things next week, a lot more topics, but DP, give me the one name. If let's just say it's not Kofi Kingston, it has nothing to do with Kofi or the New Day. Who's the one person you, if it's a one-on-one match, who do you want to see Daniel Bryan defend the WWE title one-on-one against at WrestleMania?
I really don't have a pick. I guess the rumors are Kevin Owens is going to be that guy. I don't know if I even want to see that, though. I don't know. I don't have a guy in mind at this point to wrestle him. It would be cool to see, like, you know, we talked about Batista coming back, but he's going to be on a Raw match. There's no way he's going on SmackDown.
Why not? He was a big part of SmackDown for a long time. That would be amazing.
Because that would be a lot. I think that'd be a great match.
There's a lot of history there. Well, I think part of it might have been, I'm sure they threw the idea around. I don't think they're going to get Batista, it doesn't look like, for WrestleMania. I think that's going to happen at SummerSlam with Triple H. But I think at some point when it was a possibility to get Batista, that they were looking maybe at doing that Orton Batista Daniel Bryan thing all over again.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I did just think of another guy, and we did talk about this once before, and that's John Cena.
Right, but I really like that Kurt Angle retirement match for him now.
I do. I do like that idea too, but I could definitely see that. And, you know, we talk about 16-time, you know, champion breaking the record. That would be a great spot to do it, but
what if they do some, like, you know, I don't know, 5-man elimination match where it's Daniel Bryan, Eric Rowan, and the entire New Day for the WWE title?
They could bring in Harper.
Bray Wyatt.
And have a six-man
challenge, sure.
Three-on-three, whoever gets the pinfall is the champion. They haven't done that in a while.
Interesting. It'd be interesting. All right, DP, we're going to get to all that and more as we head on the road to WrestleMania and the road to 200 for the DWI podcast. But right now, we got one thing left to talk about. It's time for Last Call.
Alcohol. What do you mean it's Last Call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Just listen.
But I just got to know one thing. Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready? Then, for the thousands in attendance, for the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to suck it!
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Better get ready. Bow to the masters. Bring it down. Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like an old man. Treat me for just who I am.
Tell us what to do.
Yeah.
You think you could tell us what to wear?
Yeah.
You think you better?
Yeah.
Well, you better get ready to bow to the master.
Suck it away into something, fool. I just got tired of doing what you told me to do. But that's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man.
You tell him.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for you.
DP, speaking of six-pack challenges, here's a six-pack going right into the Hall of Fame. Triple H, HBK, China, finally, the New Age Outlaws, and of course, X-Pac. So there's a lot of meat on this bone. I want to go over three things. One is the Hall of Fame induction of these factions and the possibility of more multiple-time Hall of Fame inductees, because this basically gives us two at the present of induction and guarantees us one more in Triple H with HBK and Ric Flair being the first. HBK and Flair being the first two to be inducted twice, and obviously Hunter down the road. Who else could you see being inducted, you know, for the second time? Evolution get inducted as far as a faction, then we got three timers, right? Stuff like that. So the second thing is China, and I think we'll close with that. And the third thing I just want to mention is Billy Gunn's association with All Elite. And we'll probably talk about that a lot more as we get closer to WrestleMania. So DP, let's start off with the multiple-time Hall of Fame inductions. Who else you could see possibly on the horizon? Besides, I'm thinking, you know, if the Hart Foundation, which was rumored to be this year, that could maybe be next year. I believe that would make Bret Hart a two-time inductee.
Two-timer. That's right. Yeah.
Talk to me about all these multiple-time inductions.
Well, we do like inductions. You know, it'd be interesting because, like you said, Evolution, you know, Triple H down the road will definitely get in as a singles, you know, Hall of Fame induction, obviously. So that'll be two for him, two for HBK, two for Flair. You know, will we see Evolution get in there? That, you know, would certainly be, I think they're well deserved to be in there. I mean, they've definitely been a great faction. One of the best, you know, of all time, in my opinion. You know, it jump-started the careers for Randy Orton and Batista. I mean, you know, right out of, you know, coming out of, what was it, Florida Championship Wrestling at the time, I guess, and had amazing careers, you know, and Triple H and Ric Flair helped them along the line, and they had, you know, great feuds with the Shield when they made their kind of comeback and everything, and
OVW.
The OVW, not Florida. You got it. And
thanks for the bell. You don't have to play Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, that's not Horowitz worthy, you son of a bitch.
Well, you go fuck yourself.
The main one to me that comes to mind would be the NWO. You know, I could definitely see Hulk Hogan getting a two-time Hall of Fame induction with that.
X-Pac getting included there, make him a two-timer. That also makes Hall and Nash two-timers.
It makes Hall and Nash two-timers, being the outsiders there and part of the NWO. And X-Pac would, I would think it would go in as a trio, because it was really the three that started it were Hogan and Hall and Nash. So I would think it'd be those three as the group. But that brings up two more, you know, with Hall and Nash both being Hall of Famers, that there's another two-time Hall of Fame ring guys.
So we have the potential for Triple H and Ric Flair to end up being three-time inductees. HBK, yes. And HBK with them is guaranteed two-time. Evolution gets in, Orton's two-time.
Orton will be a two-time once he's done, for sure.
Batista would be a two-time.
Batista would be a two-time for sure.
Hogan would be two-time. Nash would be two-time. Hall would be two-time.
Yep. It's a lot.
And then you throw Hart Foundation in there, you got Bret Hart twice.
Right. Well, and it's interesting, you know, as a faction, these guys were awesome. You know, individually, four of them don't really go in, right? I mean, does China go in as an individual star?
She X-Pac? Should. She should. And that's where I want to transition this to eventually.
Okay, and Billy Gunn and Road Dogg there. I mean, again, great as a tag team. You know, could they have gone in as a tag team? They were, you know, how many time tag team champions were amazing as a team, but do they get in without DX? I don't know. And you know, so being able to have these guys get Hall of Fame rings as a group is, you know, and I have no problem with that. I think that group, that faction together, was amazing, and it wouldn't have been the same, you know, that without them being all together, it wouldn't have been as awesome as it was.
Where does DX rank on your all-time list of factions?
For me, I'm going number one. I mean, I was a WWF guy more than a WCW guy. So to me, as far as, you know, probably NWO, Four Horsemen, DX, I mean, to me, that was right in my, right when I was peak wrestling fandom, and WWF was the shit for me. So DX, I thought, was just phenomenal.
I got to call it a three-way tie. I'm not going to pick. I don't know. And it's the three you said, right? And it's got to be everybody's top three. There's other factions that are noteworthy for sure, but I don't think anybody else is on the level of those three factions, to be honest with you. Especially if you're going to go from WrestleMania era on, right? So, I don't know. Who's the next faction you can think of that's even close?
I could think of some factions, you know, that were at that same time, you know, as DX, but they're not. I mean, the Nation of Domination there at that, you know, at that time with having The Rock in there was good, but
they're not on level. They weren't. They weren't this level of the Four Horsemen, DX, or NWO. Yeah. Neither was Evolution, in my opinion.
No, and you know, these changed an era, basically. You know, they defined what it was to be a wrestling fan at that time. So
I don't think the Hart Foundation at its strongest was on that level. I don't think Nexus was on that level. I definitely don't think Right to Censor was on that level. Here's one team, though, that I think is close. Well, not close, but I think at the same level of Evolution and the Hart Foundation would be the Dangerous Alliance.
That would be an interesting one.
There's some really good right there. But that's kind of where I'm at. You know, if I'm missing something, shoot, you know, find us on the Twitter at Podcast DWI. You can find me at PC Tunney. You can find Mr. DPP, the inebriator in the era of awesome, at It's Me DPP. You know, let us know what we missed. But I think this is a great discussion. I think the Mount Rushmore should be more about who's the fourth faction on Mount Rushmore with these other three factions, as opposed to who's the four singular wrestlers on Mount Rushmore.
That's probably tougher to pick because there's so many that she could put in there, you know, at singles competition on the Mount Rushmore and be perfectly justified.
I think we have a Twitter poll.
I think we do. Who's your number four? I mean, and like you said, like you're talking about, where you can't pick between the three. I mean, does that not just shout out the fact that the NWO is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame at some point here?
Yeah, if I had to pick between the three... It's oh my goodness. And this is my personal liking. It has nothing to do with whether I think overall they should be. I hold them all in the same regard. But as for my entertainment, I would go DX1. I would go NWO2. I would go Four Horsemen 3. But that's just because how old I am and when I received these all, right? It's a really tough decision for me between NWO and DX, to be honest with you. But the fact that NWO got so damn diluted, right? And DX maintained. Granted, we had Torrey and Kane, and we had Hornswoggle, etc., right? Am I missing anybody else that was actually official DX member?
Rick Rude. Rick Rude started.
Oh, you know what?
I thought he was going to be put on there, too.
I owe the DWI podcast/ChairShot Universe 100 push-ups for forgetting Rick Rude. So, no, but yeah, when you leave the company in the middle of the thing and be on both shows in the same night, that's kind of where you're at. But I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Has he's already been inducted into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, he is a Hall of Fame inductee as a singles competitor.
That's what I thought. So, yeah, I don't think he was really a big enough part of that for a long time. So... DP, last thoughts this week. First on DX, second on Elimination Chamber, and third moving towards WrestleMania for all our DWI podcast fans out there.
Well, What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to...
On those, you're just your last thoughts on those three levels.
Man, enjoy the ride of Kofi Kingston. I think it's been a lot of fun. And more inductees to come for the Hall of Fame, obviously, is always entertaining. And I'm liking the call-ups here. You know, it feels like it's getting a little oversaturated with NXT stars that we don't know yet. But it's fun. I know the guys, so I'm being entertained myself. So
thrilled for DX. I think they're doing it right with inducting all six of them. I'm so happy for China. Actually, we didn't get to that. China. I'm so happy for that. I know that she had a lot of troubles and a lot of problems in life, you know, from the beginning to the end and everything else. But every time she came on WWE television, you had to pay attention. It was something different. It was something new. And China is kind of what the WWE is lacking right now, is something different and something new. And I'm just thrilled to death that she's going to get in and get the recognition. And folks, let's not get it twisted. This DX entrance into the Hall of Fame is going to be 50% about DX and 50% about China. And it should be, DP.
Well, you talk about, you know, the women's revolution and all that. And at that time,
started there.
China,
that's where China started.
Redefined the women's division for sure, you know, and a totally different style of wrestler.
She was the Intercontinental Champion, DP. She is
beating Chris Jericho.
In my opinion, that makes her the best women's wrestler in the history of professional wrestling.
That's, you know, it was an amazing time, and then that feud with Chris Jericho over that title was phenomenal.
Only to be taken over by Charlotte Flair shortly.
that's my
opinion. That's my opinion on it.
I'm not gonna. It'd be tough to argue the other way because of what she's done and what she accomplished when she was wrestling. And like I said, women's, you know, Intercontinental Champion. I mean, I thought the feuds that she had with Jericho, I think Angle, or was it Benoit that was part of that, or Angle that was part of that as well, and then Eddie Guerrero and the whole thing she did with Eddie. You know, there was some great times and great storylines that they did with her. And, you know, like you said, every time she came out, you know, it was definitely something different, and it was a revolution to the women's division and a complete change to what everybody was used to, especially at that time. And she proved she could, you know, go with the best of them. And it was, and the men were happy to have those matches and to sell for her and make great matches and storylines. And that's one I remember, you know, very well, was that time when she was wrestling with Jericho, and they had some great matches between the two of them over that IC title. So it's definitely well deserved for her. And it's unfortunate the circumstances, you know, that happened with her and everything, but, you know, personal life aside and all that, in the ring and wrestling and in WWF, she was amazing and is well worth a Hall of Fame induction.
I'm just thrilled to be on that road, DP, to WrestleMania, because I think the road is always much, much better if you, you know, pull all the pluses and minuses from post-Royal Rumble Raw all the way to the go-home show on SmackDown for WrestleMania. All that combined is just such a nice, lean, juicy cut of beef right there. And WrestleMania can sometimes rub you the wrong way, depending on what you're rooting for and what you want to have happen. So my last thoughts today are going to be what I said in the Chairshot staff picks. Enjoy the road to WrestleMania, folks, because it's not always about the destination. DP, your last thoughts today on episode 194 of the podcast known as DWI.
Oh, man. You know, I'm, again, road to WrestleMania. If you're, I think I said it on Twitter, if you're not following my picks, yeah, you know, you're doing something wrong, because know, I'm always fantastic when it comes to the road to WrestleMania. And I'm looking forward to some great matches. They're almost making Fastlane very interesting, which usually they don't do because it's kind of a toss-away on the road because we already know what's going to happen towards WrestleMania. Making things very interesting, I think.
Yeah, can't disagree with that at all. So, folks, make sure you tune into Raw and SmackDown every single week now. I think we're going to have some fun things going on. I'm debating whether or not next week I'm going to predict Kofi Kingston early as your winner at Fastlane. I'm telling you, I really want that to happen. I like what that does, especially for the New Day dynamic.
It's a new day. It's a new day. Yes, it is.
If you have any other words to speak, speak them now. Or for episode 194 is concerned, forever hold your peace, DP.
Baby!
And you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as Boy, I can't wait for the NBA to come back tomorrow. There's been, like, not a lot on TV, although I'm about to watch Marquette, so.
Hey, Bucks kicking ass. Giannis, if they would have held on, would have been MVP of the playoff or All-Star game.
Fear the deer.
Woo.
Yeah, they do.